Here's your felon. Going to check on the others. He left, and I got Dad's disapproving glare while Mom was glancing at Callista talking to Fisher. All in all, our parents came to get us, which was humiliating. On the way out, Declan shook his head at me while his parents talked to mine. What? I asked. Her friend said Callista likes you.
Bye, Declan.
Aubrey said, her dad glaring over while he had one hand on her upper arm, leading her to their car. See you, Aubrey. Callista was already in her dad's truck. She sat in the front seat looking stoic as her dad kept turning to talk to her. I gave her a small smile and she shared her own with me. Aubrey's cute, right? Declan interrupted. She's hot. Do you like her? Because if you don't, then... My gaze stayed on Callista before her dad turned at the light. Go ahead, Declan. I don't like her. He clapped me on the shoulder. Awesome. Thanks, Rye. By the end of the week, Declan had gotten Aubrey's phone number and asked her out. I shake my head from the memory when my phone buzzes on the console. Declan. Best man duty number one. Get your ass to Lucky's in Lake Starlight. Instead of continuing to Sunrise Bay a few exits down, I get off in Lake Starlight. I park and jog across the street of their small town that is quaint and touristy like my own. Declan hasn't shown yet, so I take a stool at the bar and ask for a beer. Any one of Callista's relatives could walk in here. Maybe even she could. My heart leaps with hope, which makes me a very stupid man. What's up? Declan says from the door. You'd think he was a Lake Starlight lifer, the way he seems so comfortable here. He comes over and we shake hands, then hug. It's been too long. You've been slacking on your best man responsibilities. I nod, feeling a little guilty. I'm all yours now. Oh, before I forget, Aubrey's grandma Alice wanted me to give you this. He hands me a small envelope. It reminds me of one that would accompany a bouquet of flowers. I run my finger under the seam to open it. The card reads, Tomorrow, 9 a.m., 27 Cottagewood Drive, Lake Starlight, Alaska.
I pull into the driveway of the address on the note. The trees surrounding the house are thick, and it resembles what I pictured when my mom used to read me Hansel and Gretel when I was young. A small cabin set in the woods in the middle of nowhere. Parking in the gravel driveway, I secure the key in my palm and start up the brick walkway toward the front door that is painted a pretty sky blue. The top of the door is rounded with a circular window at the top. The mat at my feet reads, Hello, now go away. I chuckle. If I walk in there and Grandma Dory is on the couch because she faked her death, I may lose my mind. I unlock the door, then slowly turn the handle, opening the door. I release a relieved breath when I don't find an axe murderer waiting for me. The space is small but cozy. Walking around the tiny cabin, I find that it contains one bedroom separate from the rest of the open space, which has a full kitchen, living area, and a small kitchen table and chairs. I want to curl up on the couch with a blanket, a tube of cookie dough, and veg out while binging a show. When my eyes lift to the walls, I see framed pictures of Great-Grandma Dory and Great-Grandpa Philip. I've never seen these shots of them before. Them here outside the cabin, and again at an ice rink. There are pictures of them in the town square, and it looks so different than it does now. This cabin was theirs. I take that in for a second, because I'm pretty sure no one else knows about this place. I've never heard anyone mention it. It must be some kind of hideaway from the world. A knock on the door surprises me, and I startle before I walk over to answer. I swing the door open, and there stands a tall man with gray slicked back hair, dressed in a three-piece brown plaid suit.